I communicate with about six other pastors just about every Sunday morning. Here's a prophetic word from Pastor Jim Howard of Church of the Heartland. It's interesting that he didn't know what I'd be preaching today. Of course, it's a pretty good shot to say we'll be talking about the new year, but this has particular meaning to me. It says 2019 is a year of believing and trusting and watching God's hand move in your life and others. I will show myself to the church in many different ways. I will be releasing a breakthrough anointing for those who hunger after me. I will be releasing my strength and power to break the chains of bondage. In me, there will be signs and wonders released to the church again. People's lives will be changed forever. Seek me and you will find me. Those who have had a desert experience this year will find peace and joy in the comfort of my arms. Now give this message to my church. If my people will dedicate their lives to me, I will start the refreshing power of my love upon their lives today. This is a year of fresh starts. Come to me, my prodigals, and those who have doubts about who I am, and watch what I will do in your lives this year. Pretty good. Pretty neat, huh? God's so faithful. The title of my message this morning is Fresh Start. Thought that was pretty neat. Shall we pray? Father, we pray. We thank you, God, for all that you do and all that you are. We thank you, God, for all that you promise in your word. Your word is full of promises that are for us today, God. We don't live in a vacuum. We live in your kingdom. And God, you're moving ahead with your plans. God, you're bringing all this to a cumulative end. God, you are coming back for a bride without spot, without blemish. God, I thank you for your preparation even now in the hearts of your children. And God, the awakening that we see happening all around the world through distaste and anxieties. Lord, people are looking for an answer, and the answer is in you. God, you've impregnated us with your word. We're a generation that has been called to give the word of the Lord to this people, God. We thank you. We bless you. We ask blessings upon your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here we are at the new year. Just coming up 2 days. Tuesday will either be the same as any other year, or we can make it work for us. One of the things that we fight today in this world is lethargy. Things are always going to be the same. And to make changes, how many know to make changes in your life is a very difficult thing to do? We talk about change. That's why there's so many New Year's resolutions jokes, which I spared you of this year. But that's why there's so many jokes about New Year's resolutions, because they usually last
a day
or two. And then we're making excuses as to why we can't do it. Lethargy is something we fight. And to make a change for the kingdom of God, to lay down our lives for the King so that he can use us, is a very difficult thing to do. We can talk about it, but most of us, our lives are full of routines. We have 24 hours a day, and most of those hours are filled with habits. We just saw in the Hayes household the habit of John drinking coffee first thing in the morning. Bet he does that every day. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 44. Isaiah, the 44th chapter. God declaring. Isaiah 44, verse 22. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. We serve a God, if you're not aware, we serve a God that actually can turn the page. It's not a cliche. He really can turn the page and do a new thing. Murderers, thieves, and evil people are in the Word of God, being used by Him. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, was a murderer, a blasphemer. But God used them. They found grace in His eyes and became tools in His hands. Realizing that we have a destiny in this generation is a good first step in the right direction. The other is to be brave enough to walk it out. You and I have been told over and over again in our prayer time, in the prophetic words that we've read, in the messages that we've heard, that we are a generation that most likely will usher in the return of Christ. That's a big call. How many know God wants to use you? Turn to somebody and say, God wants to use you. And that can do some strange things to people. It could do some strange things to men and women when we realize that God wants to use us because we're not so sure we want to be used by God because God demands 100%. Many are camped out in the selfish part of their lives. Yes, I'll serve you, God. Yes, I'll go to church. Yes, I'll tithe. I'll do all that. But that's the limit that I'm going to do. And we find ourselves moving further and further and further away from God's call. How many know God's call on our lives is to be lights to the world, to be salt to the world, to share our lives with the world, the lost. That's what He's here for. Probably one of the most disastrous stories in the Word of God is the life of Jonah. Jonah was a prophet in Israel. You can read in 2 Kings 14:25. According to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which He spoke by His servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, He spoke about the border of Israel and such. You can read that in 2 Kings 14:25. But Jonah was a man after God's own heart. He was a prophet. God used him. Of all the prophets in Israel, God put His hand on Jonah, though, to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, which is, by the way, modern Mosul today in Iraq. Jonah was more than reluctant to go where God sent him. Probably the reason he was born and touched as a prophet was to save the city of Nineveh. That was his call. He didn't just run away a couple miles. He went 2,500 miles away from Nineveh. Tarshish, 2,500 miles away. Do you realize how long in that day it took to get there? He didn't fly in a jet plane. He ran all the way to Tarshish. He said, this is far enough away, God won't touch me. How many know God found him? How many know God found him? This was no easy journey, 2,500 miles. Some people go to great lengths to ignore or to rebel against the Word of God for their lives. They travel far from their destiny. Jonah's destiny laid in the message spoken to a rebellious people. And I believe if we're to compare ourselves with anyone, we can compare ourselves with Jonah because this world needs the Word of the Lord. God did not send Jonah to Israel, who, by the way, needed to hear a message. But He sent Jonah to Nineveh, a Gentile city where people did not fear or serve God. He sent him to Assyria, of all places, sworn enemies of Israel. God's mercy is still upon this earth. God's judgment will come, but we're in the age of mercy and grace. And we must remember that no matter how bad things get, God's love is for the lost. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, if you'll turn to Jonah, kind of hard to find, but you'll get there. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Jonah 1, 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. I want you to notice, he says, call out against it. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah heard the word of the Lord very clearly. He said, arise and go to Nineveh. And I believe this generation hears clearly as well. I believe we hear the word of the Lord that we must speak his word clearly. Cry out against what's going on. Number one, I believe God's not pleased with the condition of our great country that we live in. The word of God for this generation is the same as it was for Jonah. Repent. There's no other way to get around it. We can't make excuses. We can't be patriotic and cover sin. Oh, this is a great country. We have good Christian foundations. So, we can't rest on yesterday's works. Come on, somebody. We've got to tell this generation, the only thing that's going to bring the blessings of the Lord on this country is repentance. Not fellowship or feeding the hungry or having fashion shows or new songs or comedy or motivational speeches. We've got to cry out for repentance. This world does not need entertained. Come on, somebody. We get entertainment everywhere. We become so entertainment-minded, we even go to buy groceries, there's entertainment. Pumping gas, there's entertainment. I mean, how lame do we need to be to watch TV while we're pumping our gas? Anybody there?
Yeah.
And you're watching commercials while you're pumping gas. We become so entertainment-oriented that the church feels like it needs to entertain. We don't need to entertain. We need to preach. We do need to entertain. We need to tell the truth. World's in a bad way. It's going to hell in a handbasket. Somebody's got to tell them they're wrong. God spoke to Jonah to go tell Nineveh it was wrong. And Jonah said, I'm not having it. Getting away, I'm going away. I believe this generation has gotten tired because we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen a change yet. He said to cry out against the sin in Nineveh. By the way, when the fish swallowed Jonah, he died. A lot of people say that he was alive. But if you'll look at Matthew 12, Jesus spoke, he said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation, condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, something greater than Jonah is here. He used his death as Jonah's experienced as at the same as his death. So I believe Jonah died in the fish's belly. He cried out, but to no avail. God rose him from the dead when he spewed him on dry land in Palestine, by the way. Much of what we have experienced that may be unique to our generation is a death of something the atmosphere is full of, is death. Our minds have wandered and little has been accomplished. I believe this generation could experience what Jonah experienced, but God's mercy is going to save us. Yet we live in a society that's inundated with the gospel. Christians hear more of it than any previous generation. We hear it on our iPads, and we hear it on our TVs, we hear it on our radio in the car. We hear the gospel all the time. And how many know the gospel hasn't changed? We are truly blessed. Now we need to be motivated again. The good parts of the gospel to tell us how blessed we are, that he's going to bless us, that he's going to love us, he's going to heal us, he's going to give us second chances. Those are wonderful things, but the gospel that we're supposed to be preaching is, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Listen to it, live it, tell others, and repeat it. Listen, live it, tell, repeat, listen, live, tell. We have run like Jonah in our generation and are about to be spit up on dry land and given a chance to obey again. God says, I'm making 2019 a new year, fresh start. But what will the fresh start hold for us? When Jonah finally obeyed God in chapter 3, his message was clear. Chapter 3 and verse 4, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What a message! He didn't say, y'all are a bunch of sinners, y'all are doing this and doing that, you're having adulterous relationships, you're doing incest, you're doing all these. He didn't dictate the sin. He said, if you don't get it right, Nineveh will be destroyed. And the message for today in our world is if the world doesn't repent, it's over. Amen. Individually. Forget about nations. Nations come and nations go. Individuals is what God died for. Jesus died for the individual. And we must tell them the truth. We must tell them there's a price to pay for this free life that you're living. God reigns on the just and the unjust. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now the powerful thing was that Nineveh bought it. The wonderful part of that story is that Nineveh believed the word of God through the prophet and repented. There was no ark or tablets of stone. This wasn't something that was preached for 90 years while ark was being built. It wasn't something that tablets of stone in a man's hands coming down from the mountain. This was destruction in just 5 weeks. If you don't get it, Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah was sent to Nineveh to save Nineveh. You and I are tasked with a difficult job, called to a people that neither fear God nor follow Jesus, much like Jonah. My question is, when will the Jonah show up? When will we take what God is doing? God anointed the simple message given by Jonah. Because of his obedience, people believed and they repented. Jonah had an attitude adjustment that we can avoid, I hope. How many know I don't want to go through that kind of trial? How many want to go through a trial like being swallowed by a fish? Thank you very much. I'd rather learn the hard, easy way than the hard way. And I think what it comes down to is our attitude adjustment. We need to straighten up our attitude. How many remember we've got eternity to spend with God? I can do anything for the next 30, 40 years. How about you? If it's that long. People say, I can't help it. That's just the way I feel. It's just the way I am. You can change the way you feel and the way you are. It can happen, but it's going to take some bravery. Your attitude is 90% of the battle. If your attitude changes, things change. Look at things differently. The great Zig Ziglar said the characteristics of a winner. He said, the winner is always part of the answer. The loser is always a part of the problem. We are very adept at sticking our finger out and accusing someone else. Facebook is full of it. We have our armchair quarterbacks that say how terrible everybody is and how right one or two people are. But we need to have an answer. How many know the answer is Jesus Christ? No matter how bad it was yesterday, yesterday we can't ever get back. Today is today. The winner always has a plan. The loser always has an excuse. If we're going to do something for God, we need to sit down and plan it out. It's just not going to happen by accident. God, what steps do you want me to take to be a different person, be used by you, to be filled with you, to keep you in my eye, to live for you, to lay down my life for you, to pick up my cross and follow you? How am I practically going to carry that out? Come on, somebody. It may be smashing things. It may be selling things. It may be getting rid of things. It may be changing your routine daily. But once it happens, no wonderful thing. Come on, somebody. How many have overcome some things just by changing the way you do things? It was very difficult, wasn't it? But it worked. We need to do that same thing for the kingdom. The winner says, "Let me help you." And the loser said, "That's not my job." We need to help the people of the world. They're lost. They're blind. They're deaf. Instead of criticizing them, let's help them. Somebody that doesn't know Jesus is blind and deaf already. But they'll learn by our servant's heart. The winner sees an answer to every problem. The loser sees a problem in every answer. Oh, that'll never work. We tried that before. Come on, somebody. It's a new year. Fresh start. The winner says it may be difficult, but it's possible. The loser says it may be possible, but it's too difficult. I like the word of the Lord by this young man this morning. Don't worry about God being quiet during a test. The teacher is quiet. Come on, someone. What is attitude? I believe attitude is the eye of the soul. Your attitude determines how you view your life. Negative attitude, negative life. What we need to say is, I might not be able to change the world around me, but I can change the way I see the world inside me. We're not going to change the world around us a lot. But those who we're supposed to, who we're called to, will change. People get so upset about the direction the world is headed for. And I always say, Scripture warned us that this would happen. And it's going to happen whether we want it to or not. That's not the fact. Ours is to rescue as many as we can in this downward spiral that the world is taking. We need to pull as many out of the world as we can. Scripture says in Philippians 4:4, to rejoice in the Lord always. I think Holy Spirit has a handle on what each of us is facing, yet He instructed Paul to write those words. In a time where Christianity was not popular, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Scripture says to do that. So how do we do an attitude adjustment? Obey the Scriptures. Rejoice. Always. Say, well, Pastor Rick, I've got some things in my life that... No, rejoice. Rejoice. Lay up your treasures in heaven where moth does not corrupt nor rust corrode. Celebrate God all day, every day. Come on, somebody. Get up in the morning instead of listening to CNN. Listen to the Word of God. Attitude is the face of your life. Not only the eye of your soul, it's the face of your life. A good attitude will open doors for you in your life. An attitude adjustment. I read where customers quit going to businesses for the following reasons. 1% die. 3% move away. 5% find other resources, 9% for competitive reasons, 14% because of customer satisfaction, but a full 68% because of an attitude of indifference toward them by an employee. We need to change our attitude. Man, we're on this mud ball only for a minute, and then we get to go to heaven. We need to have people ask you, why are you so doggone happy? I'm glad you ask. I'm joyful because I'm serving the Lord God. Come on, someone. You say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I'm not anointed enough for it. Yes, you are. I'm not called to be a leader. Yes, you are. You can do it. An attitude adjustment. An attitude change. Anybody ever notice when you wake up with a good attitude, everything seems to go well? When you wake up with a bad attitude, everything that can go wrong will go wrong? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 in the New King James says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." The proper word is reasonableness. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The word is correctly translated reasonableness. The hardest time to be reasonable is when we know we are right. That distorts the face of Christianity, when we insist to have our own way. God will sort it out. We just need to serve. Come on, somebody. Are you there? We need to serve. There's a time to correct and there's a time to love. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, verse 51. Luke 9, 51. We get antsy in our society. We get antsy in our Christianity. It's incredible to me that I hear people saying that they can't wait for God's judgment. I don't want God's judgment right now. I want people to be saved. Amen. Come on, somebody. The fact is God will judge. But I mean, no, I don't want to see that coming. It's going to happen, but my heart's breaking for people that are blind. People that I love that will not see. Much the same in Luke 9:51, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered the village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. Verse 54, and when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. How many know? The wrong attitude is to say, "Get them, God." No, we don't want him to get them. We want him to save them. Come on, somebody. Attitude adjustment. Don't get so shocked that the world is getting worse. The world is getting worse because they're supposed to. Shouldn't be shocking to us. Our attitude deforms Christianity, and when we become suspicious of everything, some people find enemies where they do not exist. Come on, somebody. And we find that in Jonah. Jonah went through and preached, and the people repented, and the whole story about the gourd and the shade and all of that. In Jonah 4:11, right at the end of Jonah, God said to him, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" God as much as told Jonah the same things he's telling us. This world is in a bad way and it's a bad place and people don't know their right hand from the left. We live in a generation that has no idea about the love and the plan that God has for them. And we can't just leave it to a few people, hoping that it'll spread far and it'll spread wide. God wants to use us. Attitude is not only the ear, the eye of our mind, it's the ear of our mind. It determines how we understand this world. And the truth is, negative past experiences often guide our current thinking. Maybe we've had a bad run-in. That was yesterday. Today is a new day. Paul tells us to forget those things that are behind and press on. Stop worrying. Be anxious for nothing. How do you feel the world's treating you? If you feel you're at the wrong end of a beat stick, remember they hated him. They'll hate us. But it's for that one person that gets their lives turned around. If you have an excellent attitude, your life will reflect that excellent attitude. If you feel badly toward the world, that is the way your life will be. God says this in Philippians 4. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Amen. Now remember, the Holy Spirit knew the kind of world that the first century Christian faced, and yet the command was through the prophet, through Paul, the peace of God, thinking of honorable, just, pure, lovely things. We live in a veritable, peaceful place. Oh, there's things that go on, but how many know we're free to do what we want? How much more should we be grateful and think about the noble, think about the peaceful, think about the godly, think about the holy things that God has for us and for all those that will call on His name? Change of attitude. 2019, can we do it? I believe we can. And there are things that God's asking us to quit, to stop, to change, that He would never do if we knew we couldn't do it. How many know God's not a tease? He doesn't say, do this, and you never get it done. Forget about the failures of the past, press on. If it's to get in shape, get in shape. If it's to stop thinking your bad thoughts, quit thinking your bad thoughts. If it's to get away from things that cause you to sin, get away from them. Do it. Things become new. All things are new. And we've talked about that. New is not just something that happened 10 years ago. It was new when you got saved. God is new all the time. Every moment is new. He lives in the now. Thank God that He doesn't judge us on our past. So why do we? Someone said, what's your thoughts? Most people don't know it about me, but I'm bent towards pessimism. Every day I got to fight pessimistic thoughts. Things are going to get bad. If I let my mind wander, I think the most terrible thoughts sometimes. I have to struggle and fight every day to think optimistic. Come on, somebody. Anybody like that? And you just are bent towards that way? And you just got to think on these things. Think on noble things. I start to cry out to God and I begin to get an attitude adjustment. It's work. It's sweat. It's picking up our cross and carrying our cross daily. What's your thoughts? Because they become words. And I've often said it, but if we could get anything for Christmas, it would be a lock on our mouth. Don't speak the things that you know are going to cause problems, that you know are going to be negative. Don't speak words of death. Speak words of life. Swallow the thought. Bring it into captivity to under the obedience of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Swallow the thought. Don't let it come out of your mouth. Things will never be the same. You'll never change. I hate you. I wish that person were dead. They ought to do this. They ought to do that. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Die to yourself before it comes out your mouth. Watch your words. Because then it becomes action. I was young man, I was 19 years old, just got out of the military, and I traveled cross country on a motorcycle, ended up living in Houston, Texas for just a minute. It's about a year. And I remember Sherry that moved in beside us. I was sharing an apartment with somebody, and Sherry moved in. She was a country girl. And she was talking about church when I first met her. We struck up a conversation about the church she came from, and she was excited about being in Houston. That time it was hard to find a job, so she got a job in a strip club. And I saw her sporadically over the next couple of months. And as I saw her, she started to get withdrawn. She started just smoking marijuana. So at the time I was doing the same thing, I smoked, and I'm telling you this story for a purpose. And Then she started to do harder drugs, started to sell her body. And within 6 months, she was dead. I went over to borrow a vacuum cleaner from her. She gave it to me on a Friday night. And we had a party that night, so I didn't recover from that party until Sunday afternoon. And Sunday afternoon, I went over to her apartment, knocked on the door to give her vacuum cleaner back that I had borrowed, and there was no answer. TV was blaring inside. There was no answer. So I went down and got the superintendent of the apartment complex, and there she lay in front of the TV with blood coming out of her nose, dead from a drug overdose. Why do I say that? Things can happen so quickly in this world. You don't think actions can change your life? Yes, they can. She got around the wrong crowd, and I certainly wasn't any help. So we have to watch our thoughts and watch our words and watch our actions. They become habits. And if we look down our life, I encourage you today to sit down and talk to yourself about the hours that you're awake when you wake up in the morning. What are your actions? Are they habits? Bad habits that you can get rid of, that you can stop. It'll be awkward for the first couple of weeks, but it can happen. I'm living proof of that. Some of you in this room, you changed your actions and they changed your habits. You became something new. And some of you may be down the road where your habits have become your character. God can change all things. I'm too far gone. No, you're not. If you're still breathing in and breathing out, you're a candidate for change. Because character becomes destiny. And we're destined for greatness in our generation. I believe that. I believe that in this house, we'll see tremendous things. But I'm excited to see what's going to happen in your home. It's going to happen in your sphere of influence. Things changing. Because we decided to grip and to take the challenge of new things. Fresh starts. Forgetting those things that are behind, we press on. Amen? God's calling us, just like He called Jonah. God already called us. He's not calling us. He already called us as a generation. And it's our job to answer the call. So, Father, I pray this morning. I thank You for the challenge, the gauntlet that You've laid before us. I thank You, God, that You have a purpose and a plan in our lives. I thank You, God, that You have a purpose and a plan for us to change our generation. And God, we're going to say yes. We have no needs of fish and trials and tribulations. We're going to say yes to You. And we realize looking at that, looking down the road, we realize there's going to be challenges. And there's going to be tremendous change that will take place in our life and our home. But Father, we're willing to do that to see Your kingdom come. We're willing to do that to see Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. God, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. God, I pray that each and every one would be filled with Your Spirit in a new, fresh way for this year of 2019. Our expectations are greater than we could ever imagine. God, You're able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or hope for. So I pray, God, for each one, each effort that is tried, God, that we would see victory in our lives and experience the breakthrough that You so desire for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.